You are listening to the Fresh Take Network.
What to do, and welcome to Fresh Take. Joshua and William Arbuthnot, and it is an episode of Solo Dolo, folks. One that I gotta tell you, I am very happy to record, as North Carolina has triumphed over Coach K and his Blue Duke Devils to not only send Coach K home from Cameron and his last game there, but to also send him to the pasture of the great basketball beyond. So obviously, very, very happy as a North Carolina fan. So gonna get that out of there right now. Now let's switch to the broadcast side of things. Just a fantastic day for the tournament. You know, we came into today and we figured that this was going to be a really big game. You know, potentially the biggest NCAA game of all time between Duke and Carolina. They had never faced each other before. You look at the comparisons with tournament wins and tournament titles and the graphic that they put up and just how darn close it really is between both these squads. And when you got down to the nitty-gritty there, it sounds so cliche to say this, and, you know, I say this whenever I'm doing play-by-play or whatever, but it really was a game where either team could have won. That's the crazy thing about this game tonight, is that either team could have won. I thought, you know, the one key for Duke losing is the foul trouble in the early half really killed them. And did come back and get them to bite them as much as foul out, but you lost a lot of time having Williams in that game. Theo, John, he got in foul trouble a lot. Paulo was fantastic for Duke, and I think he really showed a lot of potential of why he's going to potentially be the number one pick in this year's NBA draft. Just the ease that he has. I thought, though, that down the stretch, Brady Manek did a really good job defensively on him. That was tremendous defense by Brady. And really, I was thinking when I was watching down the stretch, specifically like that last 5 minutes, really tight defense from both sides. Really tight defense from both sides. And the players that stepped up. Paulo was the one that stepped up for Duke. Caleb Love really stepped up for North Carolina. And, you know, like, I'm going to kind of be all over the place here, so just deal with me. But Caleb Love, I think that's a guy that has potentially propelled himself into the lottery now. You look at the performance that he had against UCLA and winning them that game with the big trays, and now he comes back in his Duke game and hits the biggest shot in his career. This time now, like against UCLA, that was probably the biggest three for him. And now this was definitely the biggest three for him. So great game from him. Amando Bacot, just a mother effing beast on the boards. Over 20 boards. He fouls out, potentially rolls his ankle. We'll have to see how that affects him in the Monday Kansas game. But I thought Bacot, he did tremendous on the boards. Just a great job by him. Crashing the boards. RJ Davis added the big thing. Brady down the stretch really added it. It was everything, though, that you would expect from a North Carolina and from a Duke game. And just a new classic between them and the rivalry. And for the NC2A, we had the game earlier in the day between Kansas and Nova, and I expected that game to be a little bit closer. If you would have asked me beforehand when we do the picks, we've been so focused on Fresh Take, just talking about Duke and Carolina, and I mean, most media outlets have just been focused on talking Duke and North Carolina, that we'd really never talked about the Nova and the Kansas game as much. And I think it's just because, again, you're looking with Duke and Carolina, this is potentially the greatest rivalry in sports, at the very least collegiate sports. And I think that's why it took a lot of the attention. But Kansas, they are a really good team. And we'll get to the Carolina side and what that means for Carolina, because that's, you know, whoever won for this side for Carolina, there was revenge in their mind for Nova for beating them in the tournament a few years ago. And for Kansas, I want to go to something that Coach Davis said that was really, really really great and really interesting. Just kind of talking about, like, Carolina had just kind of, you know, after winning the championship that we won with Joe Barry and Theo and Justin Jackson, Kennedy Meeks and Isaiah Hicks, and, you know, Tony Bradley was on that squad as well. Carolina basketball kind of faltered a little bit, and you know, you're like coming to this tournament as the eighth seed. And I don't think, you know, I think people, you know, thought, okay, yeah, well, they'll beat up a Marquette potentially. They could beat Marquette in the E9 matchup, and then they're going to have that game against Baylor. And I mean, what a run this Carolina team has had. Let's kind of review everything in this. And again, we're going to be all over the place, folks, so just bear with me. But you know, you look at that first game against Marquette and they blow them out. And I think that kind of raised people up a little bit of being like, huh, this Carolina team, this is the team that we may have some potential to make a deep run. I don't think even with that Marquette run, I don't think anybody thought national championship for the Tar Heels at that point. I think people thought, okay, they're a little bit more serious than where they were. They're coming off of beating Duke in Cameron. And that's funny, even just before, you know, the Cameron game and the Marquette game, this was a team that was on the bubble into March. This was a team that was maybe not going to make the NCAA tournament. That's how narrow it was for Carolina. They were getting blown out in games. Miami blew them out in the game. Duke blew them out in the game. We have that famous press conference with Hubert, kind of just talking about the guys don't have hearts and this isn't what Carolina basketball is about. So that's kind of the full circle of what we have here of watching Coach Davis talk today. After that, the presser or the end-game interview with Caleb by his side and just saying, like, you just weren't a great basketball school the last few years, right? You know, like, you've had the Cole Anthony year and unfortunately, obviously, the pandemic ended the year. But even if the tournament would have happened that year, Carolina wasn't going to make it that year, the Cole Anthony year. And you know, it's not been great since they won the championship, and now they have this run. They double up on Marquette, and then we get to this Baylor game, which they're winning by double digits, and they're looking great. And I think at that point, again, I don't know if people had Carolina with championship aspirations to them, but I think they definitely thought, okay, this is a team that's going to make maybe a Final Four run. They definitely have that in them because they just beat last year's national champions in a game where they lost Brady and they lost Caleb, and they went to overtime and won. And I would say up until tonight's game with Duke, that was probably the game of the year. So, I mean, this NCAA tournament, you know, between the St. Peter's stuff and this and some other tight games, the Duke and Michigan State game was really good. I think this has been great for the tournament because, you know, the pandemic, the canceling of the year there and a few other lackluster years there, it wasn't as exciting. I mean, last year we had some nights that Gonzaga and UCLA game. But once we got to the tournament, the national championship between Baylor and the Zags, I don't think it didn't pique as many people's interest. And I don't think that's because you didn't have blue bloods in it or whatnot. It's just the games weren't as exciting for people. And I think this year, you know, having the blue bloods matter. They do. We all want to see the underdogs. We want to see the St. Peters. Absolutely. But having the blue bloods matter, and we have that in the championship, which we'll get to. Yeah, they win that game there against Baylor, and that's a really big game that they're able to win there. And then they have a nail biter against, I'm trying to remember who they faced after facing Baylor. That one's actually kind of escaping me right now. But then the UCLA game, that one was a tight one. You know, it looked for like a brief second there that they were, the third game was UCLA. It looked there for a brief second that they were not going to get by UCLA, and then we know the story that Caleb just got on fire. He was looking like Steph Curry all of a sudden. And then the St. Peter's game, Cinderella had kind of turned into a pumpkin at that point with St. Peter's. It was a great run, but they were out. And then, you know, and in that UCLA game, going into that week, you kind of had people doing the side eye, right, of like, oh, well, there's Duke and there's North Carolina, and that's a potential like that could happen. So people were starting to kind of side-eye it a little bit. So that was very interesting how that all happened. And then we got to Duke and North Carolina tonight. And again, this was just, it was a very tight game throughout the whole thing. It was a very, very tight game throughout it. There was a few times I thought, you know, when Carolina took that 6-point lead, I'm like, I was feeling really good at that point as a Carolina fan. But then Duke wanted to go away. They kept coming back. And then you just kind of felt, it was really weird because when the second half started, Duke kind of felt like Kane made the right adjustments. And I was thinking that, I'm like, okay, you know, Hubert's relatively new to this coaching thing. Kane, arguably to some, is the best coach of all time. He's going to make adjustments. And this is really going to see how the first year coach goes against potentially the greatest coach of all time. And he really made these adjustments when they came out. Duke came out strong for like a minute or so. I was like, okay, well, Kane made the adjustments and Duke's looking really good. And then all of a sudden Carolina gets on this run. And I think that run was crucial for them to kind of really set the tempo back. I'll give it to Duke in some ways of Carolina has a better pace. And when I had Katie Dowling on the pod, we talked about that, of the pace Carolina had compared to the pace that Duke has. And I thought Duke did a good job of kind of holding Carolina from their pace. This game was really forced in the half court at times and really on the boards. I don't have the numbers up here because we're doing a pod. Well, we're driving right now, so it's a very instant reaction right here. But there was a lot of loose balls, and Carolina did a really good job of getting those balls. And that was the most, one of the most staggering stats, right, in the first was the points in the paint. Duke was dominating down there. They were having a really easy time at one point, just kind of crashing the lane whenever they want, whether especially Griffin. Griffin at one point was doing such a good job of crashing the paint whenever he really wanted to. I thought Paolo did a really good job of that as well. If I'm a Duke fan tonight, I'm a little bit underwhelmed by what Roach did. And he had been such a great player, Roach had, down the stretch for them. Keels did phenomenal for him. He hit that one big three. I think that was with about 56 seconds left. That was a huge three. He played fantastic tonight for the Devils. I thought he did a really good job. Roach, he kind of slouched back for a little bit. And, you know, even in that first half, Brady Manek and Caleb were kind of off. And I was just kind of thinking, I'm like, well, okay, well, Roach hasn't played particularly well. And Caleb hasn't played particularly well. And now that's going to kind of be the battle of, like, who is going to propel themselves forward here in the second half. Will it be more of Roach that he'll kind of find his game, or will Caleb be able to find his game? And we all know that Caleb was able to find his game, hit that big three, came down to free throws, and here we are. North Carolina is going to the national championship as an 8 seed against Kansas. They've arguably knocked out the two best teams from their side, and Baylor and Duke, and, you know, obviously UCLA had a lot of seniors, well, not seniors particularly, but players return in hopes of a championship, and that didn't happen. We will never know what the Kentucky side could have been, right? But, you know, St. Peter's beat Kentucky, Carolina beat St. Peter's. So it's going to be a really interesting championship game. You know, a lot of people have been talking about the fact that the Duke and North Carolina game, that's kind of the championship, and whoever faces whoever won between Nova and Kansas at the time, now we do know it's Kansas, that the winner of that would just maybe just be physically drained the next game. And I, you know, for Carolina, it's going to be definitely physically straining, for sure, mentally straining. But it's going to be also, what is Amando Backcock and his ankle looking like, right? So they have about 48 hours now into that game. So we have to see what's going on with Backcock's ankle and how it's doing. That's going to be a big deal going forward for the Tar Heels, is they need Backcock in that game. He's going to be a must for that game. So then we go to the national championship side of things. And I guess just really quickly on the Duke side, even though I am a North Carolina fan, and I just it was the ultimate bragging rights, right? It was the ultimate, you know, whenever we have the classic now, right, of having games at Cameron or having games at Chapel Hill, and Duke beats North Carolina, Carolina fans are going to come right back and like, oh, hey, remember that time that we beat Kay at Cameron and ended his homestand? Oh, and remember that time we beat you in the Final Four? Because these two teams have never faced each other in the championship before. And here's North Carolina with the biggest win maybe in school history. I don't even know the championships. But beating Duke and sending Coach K home is, it's the ultimate bragging rights. And as for Duke, like I said, I think Paolo is a stud. I think A.J. Griffin he'll have an interesting NBA career. I really like Max Williams quite a bit. He was one of the players that really scared me on the North Carolina side coming into this game, and he got in those three fouls there, and that definitely hurt them. And I think he can be a very good NBA center. I think he has an upside as an NBA center, so we'll kind of see where he lands. It's kind of the same. You know, I was talking to Andy Kenyar after the game. It's kind of the same with Brady Manek we were talking about for his draft stock. Of where will Brady land? That'll be very interesting to see just for his draft stock and where he can land. That'll be very interesting to see where he can go. Because he's a great shooter, can rebound really well, okay defensively. So that'll be interesting to see what he is. Bacot will kind of just be what you see kind of from a Rudy Gobert. And now I'm not comparing Amando Bacot to Rudy Gobert, but he's a very defensive player. He can get buckets, don't get me wrong, but I'm interested to see where some of these Tar Heels on their draft stock go after where we were before the tournament. Because obviously, like we said, definitely some of the Tar Heels have definitely raised up their draft stock quite a bit. As for Kansas, it's a great team. There's a lot of history with Kansas and North Carolina, especially in the tournament. In the past decade, you know, the Thomas Robinson year will stick out first, to me at least, as a Carolina fan. There's two, I think, that really stick out, but let's kind of go through them here. And there's been a Final Four with the Cole Aldrich tournament, but let's kind of go to that Thomas Robinson year. And that's the year that Stillman White was the point guard, and Kendall Marshall, he got in foul trouble. And, you know, before that, Kendall wasn't playing because he was hurt. And before that, John Henson was hurt, and that Carolina team, I think if you look at the Carolina teams the last 15 years, right, you know, we have the team with Ray Felton and Sean May and all those great players that win. You have the Hansbrough, Danny Green, Ty Lawson, Wayne Ellington team. And you have that Joe Barry squad. And those teams, I think, you know, were potential to win. You know, the year before Carolina, that Joe Barry year, lose at the buzzer to Reynolds and Villanova. Marcus Page losing out of his chance for a championship. But that year, with that team, the HB and Zeller and John Henson and Kendall Marshall year, I think a lot of people expected North Carolina to be the champions that year because they were loaded, right? And then injuries just unfortunately got in Carolina's way. And then, you know, they lose Thomas Robinson and Kansas that year and the Elite Eight, I believe. So that's in the back of the mind. And you look at the Final Four year, that year was kind of a kick in the nards, and I believe that was a Hansbrough team, and that was a game where Kansas, if you remember, Kansas comes all like leads by 20 points, and then Carolina comes all the way back only to lose. So that was a kick in the nards. And then there was a game a few years ago when it was Ben McLemore and Kansas, and they beat North Carolina again. So Carolina has not had the best luck against Kansas. So to beat them in the national championship would be just a chef's kiss for this entire run. You know, beating the number one seed in Baylor, there's not a lot of history there, but that was a huge step. And then beating Duke, obviously, specifically in the Final Four, right? You had on the other side for Carolina, there, no matter what in this Final Four lined up for Carolina, there was revenge on the mind. First was the Duke game, because that's their natural rival, and sending Coach K home. Check mark. Got it. Then for the other game, they were keeping an eye on that because Villanova beat them in that final, that Marcus Page year. And then Kansas, like I just kind of ran through the history with Kansas and what North Carolina has had with them. So there's a lot of interesting history there between both these teams as we get to the national championship. And add to the fact of, you know, Roy being the Kansas coach for all those years, Dean Smith played for Kansas. So there's a lot of North Carolina and Kansas stuff as far as the coaching side of stuff. And here's Kansas now in the national championship against North Carolina, two premier blue bloods with the Jayhawks and the Tar Heels. And if you're TBS right now, you are on cloud nine. You know, whatever would have happened, it would have been Duke and Jayhawks, you would have been fine. Duke and Villanova, you would have been fine. But you get North Carolina and the Jayhawks, two legendary blue blood programs. It's going to be great. You can't be unhappy about that for the national championship. And, you know, Bill Self looking for his second national championship. Herbert trying to win in his first year as coach. And that's the other thing with Herbert. When he took over for Coach Williams, a lot of people weren't sure about the decision for it, but it was kind of time for a change. You know, watching some of those Williams years, I think he squeezed out that last championship in that Joe Barry year in 17. And now you fast forward to this year and the last few years, and it just wasn't really working. He's had some good players, you know, like you had a Cam Johnson and you had Cole Anthony and you've had Cody White. Like, there's been some good players in North Carolina, but it wasn't the success there for them. I mean, I can't remember who it was that beat them. I believe it was in the tournament in 2018 or 2019. And this was the Cody White, Cam Johnson year. And then they just got really sick. And I can't remember the team that beat them. I think it may have been Washington. They just got really, really sick. So I'm sure those guys are kind of watching now. And Carolina, as a family, you know, we keep everyone in store. You know, you saw Sean May on the bench there. I'm sure there'll be a lot of Tar Heels that are going to be there if they weren't already. But it'll be a big one against the Jayhawks going into this one. And, man, just as we wrap up here, just, you know, what a night. What a night to be a North Carolina fan. What a night to be a college basketball fan, quite frankly, to be honest, because we got a classic. We really did. Even I believe it was AJ hitting the three and then Caleb coming back with the three. Like, you got to see and why college basketball at its best can be really, really good. Really, really good. And, man, just this national championship game is going to be good. It's going to be interesting to see where the draft stocks goes. And for Kay's career, I guess we can kind of finish off on that. Just, you know, who knows who's to say if he's the best coach of all time. I would still probably say John Wooden, personally, is the best coach of all time for everything that he was able to do with his UCLA teams. But Kay turned Duke, that was, you know, beforehand was a whatever program, and he made Duke one of the premier programs in college basketball. So for that, I have nothing but respect for Coach Kay, because you look over the years of what he's done, and I mean, there's some hypocritical stuff in there, like saying he'd never be a one-and-done team, and then Harrison Barnes goes to North Carolina, he's like, well, you know, I'm going to be a one-and-done team, so. You know, but, you know, he kind of did kill him in the one and done, at least bringing in guys. You know, he kind of out-Cal Calipari on that side of having Tatum and having Ingram and sure having Paolo. Like, the names go on and on and on for that school, for Duke, having Kyrie there in the past. He's had a lot of great players, and there has been a lot of memories against Duke that have hurt. I mean, I'll never forget Austin Rivers hitting a jumper in just a regular. It was a game, I think it was at Chapel Hill, and he hit it over Zeller. And that game sat with me for a while. So this definitely makes up for it quite a lot. Normally, I don't like to be so one-sided on my shows, but, you know, it's the biggest game win maybe for Carolina other than a championship. Just because you get to send out your arch rival. I don't know what the pair, this potentially will be the sports story of the year. At least it's going to be one of them at the very least. Like, you know, I don't know if there's an NBA champion story that can kind of compare to this. There's like, yeah, you know, maybe the Suns, Chris Paul getting his first ring, that has a chance to be in there. The NHL, I don't really see anything because there's no real key player this year try to win their first cup like they had with Carey Price last year. You're talking about the premier rivalry and the end of potentially to some the greatest coach of all time by his greatest rival who did it there, Anna Cameron. So, yeah, and you know, on a team that quite frankly has three lottery picks on its team? And we don't know if Carolina has lottery picks or not. Depends. Maybe Caleb has propelled himself into the lottery, maybe, but I digress on that. Of, you know, Kay will go in, you know, great times of coaching Team USA, did a great job there. And now John Shire will take over the program. I will, you know, I asked Katie Dowling this on the Duke and Carolina podcast that we did this past week. It would be hilarious, though, if Kay said, I haven't made a full decision yet. If he comes back next year, that just kind of shows the power of the Carolina and Duke rivalry and how much losing to North Carolina really, really affected and hurt him. And you know it did. You could see it going handheld with wife on the way out, how crushed he was, and that was it for him. And, you know, I'm recording this before getting a chance to see the presser and know all that stuff. But, man, it will go down as one of the classic games. It's going to go down as one of the classic Carolina teams. I guess I'll just say the last thing on this, just as a Carolina fan. I mentioned, you know, I've been so lucky. I've been so blessed to be a North Carolina fan. And in my life, get to witness some multiple championships, right? I mean, in my life, I witnessed the SHE championship, but I wasn't I was still pretty young at that point, but I remember watching it. But getting to watch the 05 team, getting to watch the Hansbrough and Ty team, and then getting to watch the 17 team, those are all great teams. And like I said, that HB and Kendall team, it was a very special team that, you know, it's unfortunate didn't win. And I love that Cam Johnson and Cody White team. But this is maybe my favorite North Carolina team I've ever got to watch. Because, you know, no one's going to feel entirely bad for us, but we've never been the underdog. And, you know, it's just, yeah, we've had one game where we weren't the underdog, and that was the game against St. Peter. So one more game. Now facing Kansas, going in as the underdog to try to win the national championship. That the odds were 100-1. And we'll see if we can wrap it up. So that's going to do it for me, folks. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Until next time, folks, cheers and enjoy the games, people.